In this episode, I talk about the pillars of rehabilitation that I use when helping an equine athlete return to a mentally, emotionally, and physically healthy state. And the good news is, you can use these same pillars to train in a way that avoids the problems in the first place. So here we go, episode 257, Rehabilitating the Equine Athlete. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses, our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Hello, everyone. I am sitting here wrapped up in a blanket. We were just last week saying how we went right from winter to summer because it got up into the 90s a couple days recently. But last night and tonight, it's back down to possibly freezing. So, anyway, poor me, I know. I had to turn off the heat when I record the podcast, so I'm all tucked up, wrapped up in a little blanket while I'm recording this. And actually, I just got back from being part of a roundtable discussion that was hosted by Noelle Floyd for her Dear Horse World podcast. And the other two people in this roundtable were Tick Maynard and Brendan Wise. So we all had such a good time. It was a really interesting conversation. And what I really liked about it, well, one of the things I really liked is, you know, we each got to answer the questions that Noelle posed to us, but then we were able to, you know, ask questions of each other and just get a really cool conversation. And all of us were left thinking, hey, we need to get together more often to chat. So So that will be coming out at some point. If you're subscribed to the Dear Horse World podcast, you'll hear that there. You can, if you want to look up the previous podcast I did with them, it's somewhere on the list. I guess I should have prepared and told you what number it is, but you'll find it. But I'm here today to talk to you about a subject that was actually one of my instructors, Shauna Lewis, who's also the right-hand person here at Dressage Naturally. She's the person that, if you've ever emailed us, chances are she answered your email or has helped you through any of the courses, getting logged in and all that good stuff. Anyway, Shauna suggested that I talk about this subject of rehabilitating the equine athlete. And I do have a blog on this, so I'll put the link to that blog in the show notes, because some of the things that I list here, you might want to have as a handy reference. But she just has a new horse in training. And it's one of these things of like, you understand the material, you practice it, you use it, you know it's good stuff. But then you meet a new horse, comes in, and you do the same stuff, which at some point starts to feel just like normal and simple and obvious. But you see the amazing transformation that happens oftentimes really quickly. And I love it when that happens because it just makes you kind of sit back and go, okay, this seems really normal and obvious to us because we're doing it. But it's so clear that it's missing out there in the world for so many horses. So that's what I wanted. I think it was a great suggestion to talk about. It's a springboard to talk about so many things that are important and valuable in what we teach and what you guys can do yourselves. So yeah, that's why we're here today. And rehabilitating a horse can really be one of the most rewarding experiences. The horses that I've returned to wholeness have taught me such valuable lessons that have benefited all my horses. I rehabilitated several horses who came to me with, quote, undiagnosable lamenesses. Most often, they had combinations of mental, emotional, and physical issues that needed to be unwound. And students in my programs also have reported, you know, great success in doing this. And to be successful, however, really requires being committed to the process without being attached to the outcome. And the key is to focus on what your horse can do and then strengthen that in as many ways as possible. And this will give you the necessary hopefulness and positivity while still keeping you firmly grounded in reality. And so once again, to think about the Dressage Naturally principles. So one of them is that mental, emotional, and physical are equal doorways to our goals. And so the horses that have come with lameness issues, you know, it's never just physical. So we're always addressing the mental and the emotional part because imbalance is imbalance. And a mental imbalance, for many reasons, you know, that it can be often connected to confusion, can show up, it can become emotional. And if there's tightness, the posture of confusion, you know, think of yourself. I'm just doing this weird thing with my shoulders and like turtling my neck and looking around in a weird way. That's my posture of confusion. Like that has a physical effect that can then affect their soundness. And, you know, you can look at it in any way, a physical pain that's not being acknowledged or dealt with appropriately can definitely cause some emotional issues. And then if they're not able to do what you're asking them to do, you know, it can be seen as a mental problem. And then the training just gets more, I don't know, unnecessarily, in quotes, obvious and harsh instead of, you know, feeling like you're getting to the root cause. So it's no matter what horse is in front of me, I'm always trying to look through those lenses and they all are connected. It's you can often, you know, get good at guessing which is the thing that's the root cause. But even if you guess the root cause, you can't always get right to the root cause. You have to find the way in. And that's why I like to describe it as doorways. So each of these has a little doorway into the horse, and you might come in through the physical, and then from there you can kind of end up in the emotional, and from there you can address the mental and, you know, any combination thereof in that, which, you know, often when I talk about my methods, I can hear myself and I'm thinking, geez, it's just, I make it sound so confusing because it's not just 1, 2, 3, do this, this, and this. But it comes from the wisdom of knowing that rarely does a 1, 2, 3 recipe work. The best thing I can do is tell you where to look and what sorts of things to look at. And in the end, you can tell the story for that particular horse. As they help you figure this out, you'll be able to tell the story of what worked and what didn't. But mostly, like, don't feel bad if you have a puzzle in front of you, because most horses are puzzles. You know, if you get it right the first guess, count yourself lucky. And this piece about, you know, being committed to the process without being attached to the outcome is so important, because I think a lot of times horses get into a state that they need to be rehabilitated from is because they've been around humans that are a little too much attached to the outcome. They've got to make it happen, even if it's not happening. It's, you know, maybe they're in a situation where, you know, the pain has been covered up so that they can get things done, or the, you know, the mental confusions have not been addressed and it's just been dealt with higher degrees of control, and the emotional parts haven't been acknowledged. So the horses aren't living a life that they can be happy and feel safe in. So that's one reason. I mean, that's just how we should be with horses, is not be so attached to the outcome. We need to enjoy the process. I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now that says, enjoy the process. You can get it at the Dressage Naturally merch shop. Yeah, might as well run a little ad. DressageNaturally.net/merch, MERCH. Anyway, so I didn't plan that. I just remembered that as I said that. Anyway, well, we need to enjoy the process with all horses, and especially ones that we are rehabilitating, because the last thing a horse like that needs is more pressure. And another reason is because, you know, you're taking on this situation and you might not be successful. You know, I'll tell a story of, you know, a horse that came to me with major lameness issues. They resolved, but there's a chance that they won't. And so if you're thinking you're getting this horse and he's going to be your dream horse and he's going to be able to do X, Y, Z, maybe, but maybe not. Because I actually have a horse right now that was given to me, and he was a rehabilitation. The trauma ended up being too deep and a little too complex and a little too wound in perhaps physical. And it just started to get a vibe where it was clear that my goal of like, ooh, I've got this gorgeous moving, you know, dressage prospect. Isn't that cool? I can rehabilitate him and then we can do fill in the blank goals. It just became clear that in order to have him live his best happy life, like that goal needed to go away. And so you just had to be prepared because even a free horse, free horses can cost more than horses you buy. Because sometimes they need more stuff, you know, more things, more treatments. So if you're excited to be given this horse that needs to be rehabbed, it can work out amazingly, and it can be one of the most rewarding experiences in your horse life. But you absolutely have to go in accepting that maybe it won't work out exactly the way you dreamt, and that has to be okay. And the horse has to feel that it's okay. He has to feel like he's absolutely perfect and living his best life somehow. And that's also why I emphasize focusing on what the horse can do. And there's many, many reasons for that. I mean, it's just a good strategy of training anyway, you know, to improve what can be done. And that often gives you the doorway in to then be better at doing the things that you can't yet do. Chances are, if it's a horse that needs rehabilitation, it's because things have not been working. And often when things are not working, the horse doesn't have enough sense of what it feels like to be successful. Right? So you want to, with any horse, keep them feeling like they feel successful, that they feel like rock stars every day. And then somehow you slip in the little bits of training in just the small enough pieces to progress them, but where overall they're like, I am a rock star, and that little bit was a little bit hard, but I'm a rock star. And so by focusing on what you can do, it can really build that sense of success, that trust. They start realizing that if there's a request, there's always a way to solve it. Like it's always a little puzzle and they're always able to solve it. And they understand when they solved it and it feels good and they want to do it again. And sometimes you have to be really, really clever and curious to figure out what are the things that we can do, because it might be pretty minimal, but don't underestimate the power of something that the horse can feel successful with, whether it's a quote unquote silly horse trick, some, you know, touch your nose on this thing and get that language set up. If it's a horse who has mental rehabilitation that's needed, simple requests. You know, you set up a circumstance, they do something, you give them feedback, and they start to understand you, and they start to know what they need to do to get a reward of some sort, you know, that they can feel good about it. So, you know, I've had really big breakthroughs in a relationship with a horse. It might even be body work. It might be, you know, just the lightest touch where you feel them. There you find a little bit of tension, you stay there with them, they release it, you release it, they're like, oh my gosh, how did you feel that was there? How did you know when I released? Oh my gosh, my mom really feels me. Like, there's the beginning of a relationship. Sometimes that's all you can do, but start there, right? And find the way in. And whenever you find something you can do, then you can repeat it and strengthen it and fortify it in as many ways as possible. And so that's really helpful for the horse. It's helpful for the relationship. And it's helpful for you because sometimes this is a long road and it's easy to see all the problems and, you know, problems that the horse has. And sometimes it's really tempting to go right into sort of the big, obvious things. But again, sometimes those are not the easiest doorway in, because if they're showing up like that, chances are the horse is very practiced at protecting himself in that situation. And if you can just find the little spots that maybe nobody's noticed before. Anyway, so you find those little glimmers that can be found most easily, that's also going to help you be more hopeful and to remain positive. And there's a thing that, you know, when I talk about enjoying the process, you know, it's easy to go, oh my gosh, here's all the things we can't do. But if you really focus on it feeling good and the horse feels successful and you're building something, like that process of becoming attuned with the horse, being there in the moment with the horse, finding this bit of communication or finding this little bit of relaxation of tension that wasn't there before, or just finding this, the smallest change that you can make in a horse and how they're maybe just standing in the stall with their posture, or the speed that you walk them down the aisle, like these little moments can actually have a big impact. And if you do it for those positive qualities, it feels good. And because it feels good, it's not just for the horse, it's for you also. So you're like, well, I don't know how long this road's going to be, and I don't know where we're going to end up, but boy, it's really nice to go on this drive together. Right? So sometimes you get in your car to drive somewhere because you just got to get to the destination. And sometimes you go on a drive just because you love the drive. And who knows where you're going to end up and how long it's going to take to get there. But the whole point is it's like the scenic route, right? The scenic route is there because you want to be enjoying the moment. So when it comes to rehabilitating the horse, take the scenic route. Just, you know, remember to do that. You can create that good scenery just by creating the success and the communication and the relationship, and let that horse know that you see them. That is one of the most important things with any horse, and especially with a horse you're rehabilitating. They have to know that you see them. And the relaxation of the defense systems and the compensation systems that have been in place for his survival will start to melt a little bit, and that's your way in. Okay, so let me go through some of the guidelines that I have to kind of keep these, I'll call them three pillars of recovery, three buckets. They kind of mirror the three filters that I say that I look at. So one is the partnership part, you know, the lifestyle, the mental, emotional well-being, you know, the Happy Athlete Training Scale is the same thing. It dovetails with this, right? So what's at the base of the Happy Athlete Training Scale? It's the harmony, and it's the happiness, and then the harmony. So just that the horse starts to feel like he has a life when he's all by himself, that he feels safe, and that he can have some of his horsey needs met, and he can have his individual specific needs met, because a horse who needs rehabilitation might not be a quote-unquote normal horse. Even a horse who, let's say they've been in the stall 24/7 usually, and you think, oh, I'm going to give him his needs, I'm going to just let him be turned out. Some horses cannot handle that yet. So you have to, you know, you can't just throw them out there. They're not, they're a mentally ill horse. So, you know, you have to gradually get them used to that. So think of what horses need, and then look at what this horse needs, and ease in there. But anyway, so, but that partnership, that feeling of you want this horse to have a happy, safe lifestyle. That's one of the areas we're going to look at. Another area is the biomechanics, the ease of his movement, the general balance, and then, you know, gymnastics. We can say strengthening that place of ease. And so for every horse, that's going to look a little bit different. So looking at the partnership, like if I had to boil it down to something, you know, in a nutshell, what are the important pieces? So one is to wait and watch. Don't jump in too fast. You really want to give this horse time to feel safe with you. You don't need to perform fancy big breakthrough techniques right away, because sometimes time just solves it. So just wait and watch. I know you're excited. I know you probably have a bunch of exercises up your sleeve. Just wait, especially if he's new to the area. You know, just give him that luxury of just being with him, observing him, seeing what he needs to feel okay all by himself. Or, I mean, at least just not in a session with you. And also spend that time being with him so he can feel safe with you, because you're not immediately jumping in and trying to find all the broken pieces. So another key consideration for partnership is the diagnostics. So you really want to make sure you understand any existing injuries or afflictions. Now, often, if you have a horse that's been given to you because of physical problems, you'll often have like a lot of stuff, but none of it says anything. It's like, couldn't find anything here, couldn't find anything there. Here's all the places we injected just for fun. I mean, but it is all data. So you can see where people were looking and what they were doing. But so take the time to do any diagnostics and just understand, ask a million questions. You know, once you get the horse, if you're able, you know, they probably told you something before they gave him to you or you took him on. Now that you have them, you can ask some more. You might get a different story. If you wait long enough, they forget what they told you and what they didn't. And you might be able to squeeze a little more information out of them, even accidentally. I find that happens frequently. Here's the entire history. And then you get them and they're like, oh yeah, and there's this other thing. I'm like, huh. Didn't tell me that story the first time, but just, you know, you're in it now, just take the time to understand what's going on. And then another key consideration, we already kind of talked about this, is to help him feel safe. This is the most important thing. Meet the horse where he is. So dramatic changes can be traumatic. Ease this horse into the new healthy lifestyle. Right. So the stall thing is really a big thing. The stall and turnout thing. Some horses, you can just put them out and they're like, yay, finally. Other horses, it's not unusual for a horse who's used to a stalled life to not be able to handle it to be out. So we'll put the horse out in the paddock. I have a paddock behind the barn, put them out. Maybe 30 minutes later, they're running the fence line. And typically in his old life, probably they were brought back in immediately. So they get scared. They get back in the safe stall. Whew, now the stall is the only place they feel safe. So to do a gradual process, I love having a stall with a door out the back to the paddock where they can go in and out and have some choice. That's often a big thing. You want to help them get their brains functioning well again by giving them opportunities to make choices. So in my barn, I have it. There's a stall, the back door can open, it goes to a back paddock, and often I can put up some panels so I can cut that back paddock in half, and I can kind of go, you know, baby back paddock and then the bigger back paddock, and then I have a little bit bigger turnout, and then there's the big turnout, and then, you know, the socialization with other horses is part of that. So just know that each of those little changes can be quite stressful for a horse. Don't just throw him out in a herd and dream that, you know, he's going to be happy. So just look at the horse you have, notice him, take your time, start with what's most familiar to him, and then, you know, if it's safe and healthy enough, and then gradually increase. So super important that you are making those kinds of decisions for him. And then, of course, you know, basic needs, freedom, forage, friends. Not to throw him into it, but you want to be working towards this. You want him to have more freedom, more choice. Change the diet to get it on a forage-based diet. Again, gradually, wisely. Consult with a nutritionist if you need to. You know, really look at what this horse needs. And then the socialization. Start over a fence. Start, you know, feel it out. Don't just throw them out in the herd. However, many training and health problems have been solved simply by getting a horse back to a more natural lifestyle. I really feel like it affects their brains. It affects their ability to think and therefore to be trained. So it's super, super, super important. And so during this time period where you're just waiting and watching, like, that's the stuff I'm trying to manage. I want to just be with my horse and somehow manage the situation so his lifestyle is as healthy for him as possible. And it'll go through a little period, but I'm aiming to get them to have the freedom and the forage and the friends. So again, the other main consideration in the partnership department is, you know, nurturing curiosity, give them choices, be really aware of signs of learned helplessness, you know, where they check out. You want your horse to work with you. And in order to do that, he has to feel free to make choices and express what he wants or needs. And don't, like, if they don't want to do so much with you, don't automatically think of that as like, I have to train him that when I say this cue, he needs to come be with me and that he can't leave. And if he leaves and it's more uncomfortable away from me and it's more comfortable towards me, like, chances are these horses don't need more discomfort. So let him feel the power, personal power of being able to walk away from something he doesn't like. That is so hugely valuable. If you allow your horse to walk away from things that they don't like, it's going to be so much more meaningful when they don't walk away because they are kind of starting to like you. So don't go right to training the mental stuff. You know, they are allowed to show you just what they want and what they don't want. And your job is just keep them safe and let them know you care about what they're feeling. I cannot understate the power of that alone. Just that shift in environment or in that intention in a space can make a huge difference. I was just with all my instructors, and one of my instructors, Michelle Young, who's up in British Columbia, Canada, she was talking about this a facility where there's like two identical barns on this horse facility. And one barn tended to have a certain type of rider and way of doing things. And the other barn had a different way of doing things and a different kind of clientele. But geographically, they're really close together. Everything was exactly the same. The only thing that was different was like the vibe and the amount of social turnout. And she had a horse who literally went from one barn over to the other barn because it just became more convenient for to take the lessons and do the training. Just moved, you know, I don't even know how, a few hundred yards, I don't know, it was close. And really quickly, the horse changed without any training differences, just the vibe, the lifestyle. So anyway, it's powerful stuff. And it's less about techniques and more about just the relationship and the intention. Okay, so now we're in the biomechanics bucket, and the key considerations here, if I had to boil it down to just three, one of them is to solve the communication issues that lead to brace or contortion. Solve the communication issues that lead to brace or contortion. So many mental, emotional, and physical injuries can be traced to conflicting aids and or confusion. So when I'm trying to improve the way of moving with any horse and rider, the first thing I look at is like, are there moments where there's aids being put on and the horse isn't responding to them? So there's a posture of confusion. And when riding, often if the horse is not doing what the rider asks, then there's more aids put on, which can cause brace and defensiveness and contortion, right? And that can build up and put uneven wear and tear on things, and things are not moving in a supple, free way. So solve communication issues that are leading to that brace or contortion. Another consideration is to dissolve negative tension. So I have this technique called moving massage. Exceedingly simple concept. You have the touch with the intention of a massage therapist, doing light touch. If you feel tension, you stay there. If it was a human, you'd say, breathe into my hand. If it's a horse, you just send love and you're thinking, you can let go of that. Right? So you can do this while moving. And I think this is incredibly powerful. I don't have to think it. I've seen the results. So to be able to touch your horse with this intention, and through the movement, they're feeling more about their bodies. And when they release the tension, they feel how much easier it is to move that way. So there's this instant reward in a way, because they're like, oh, my legs are moving more freely now. And this technique is, I cannot overstate how valuable this is. I've had it with horses that have lamenesses, and they start to do all this compensation thing, and then there's layers upon layers, and moving massage can really melt away that, and you can, sometimes you're left with no lameness anymore, and sometimes you can just get through the compensation and now you really see the original one. So dissolving negative tension, and even if it's not through moving massage, you want to think, where is there tension held, you know, that's unnecessary? It's not tone, it's not, you know, muscles powering up, it's negative tension holding, brace, tightness, contortion, you know, just look at that, see where it is, and then figure out through the magic of everything, see if you can figure out how to get that to go away. So before we start building stuff, I like to melt away all the stuff that's unnecessary. And so the third key part of the biomechanics is the sweet spot protocol, right? So this is really a signature piece of what I teach. And it's this idea of experimenting to find the place of ease of movement. And I call that finding the sweet spot of healthy biomechanics. You play with different energies, you play with different balance, and you're observing your horse. So, you know, I've done this again, between moving massage and sweet spot protocol, life-changing. And so I'll just tell the story of my horse Hotshot that came to me at age 7 with a, you know, vet history medical history, you know, like a book they had injected and, you know, given all kinds of things. Like, he had a lameness in the front and they couldn't figure out what it was. And they were sending him out to the pastor when he came to me. And so I could feel the lameness. And I, by employing the sweet spot technique, which is like, well, let me try different energy levels. Let me try different balance, you know, shift the shoulders or the haunches here or there and try tipping the nose one way or the other and observe and melt, you know, look at the conversation or relaxation, make sure there's no tension held, you know, unnecessarily in that department. But what I found was if I experimented a bit and I found a certain energy level and tempo, like not too fast, not too slow, just somewhere at a certain range of energy and tempo and a certain position in his body, he moved evenly. But it was a really odd thing. Like, he was lame on his right front, but if I went track right with a little bit of a counter positioning and his haunches to the outside, then he would be even in his trot, which didn't make much sense to me at all, because he was kind of putting his more weight on the right front. So that didn't make any logical sense, but I could recreate it over and over again. Oh yeah, and I had to be twisted. I can't remember which way I had to twist, but I had to twist my body in the saddle in one particular way. And if I did, whenever I passed through that moment, he would move evenly. So I just did that. So it's kind of going around, going, where do I need to be? And where do I need to allow your body to be so that you feel evenness? And I just did that. What can you do? Do more of that. And gradually, but like over within 2 weeks, I could ride him normally. So that's pretty cool. I remember the vet coming out to recheck because he saw him when I got him, and then he came back a couple weeks later and he's like, he's sound, but you really have to work on his bending to the right. And I just grinned. I was like, don't worry about that. So that's an example of using the sweet spot protocol and focusing on what can he do to meet him where he is, no matter what ridiculousness it looked like or seemed like logically, made no sense to me at all, but it worked. And this sweet spot protocol, I mean, that's not saved for rehabilitation. Like, that's just the way I and how I teach to find the healthy movement. So hopefully we do this and then we don't have to get our horses into bad spots where they need, where they have all these problems layered upon each other and are about to be thrown away. You know, horses can always have injuries no matter how perfect we are as trainers and riders. But there's a lot that can change. So don't wait until your horse needs to be rehabilitated to practice this. This is just how we do things. This is just how I operate now with horses. And yeah, it's just incredibly powerful. And the program that I have called Finding the Sweet Spot of Healthy Biomechanics is where we walk you through it. And we open this course twice a year. So depending on when you're listening to this podcast, it may or may not be open. But we get a really amazing group of people. And it's not just an online course where you're dumped in there and we wave at you and go, good luck. So it's highly, highly interactive. We have weekly live calls. We've got my five instructors are in there doing Q&A, and you get some private coaching. Two are included with it, and you can get as much coaching after that as you'd like. And it's, yeah, and we have a Facebook group, and the Facebook group is, you know, all of us are in there, and the alumni. So it's this huge, huge family and community for the rest of your life. And it really has changed so many people and so many horses. So I know everybody's a little bit, you know, everybody's got a million online courses in their computer somewhere. This is so much different. This is more of an experience. It's highly, highly, highly supported. It's really hard to describe how transformative this program is, but it's, you know, if you've listened to my podcast, like time and time again, what does it come down to? The Happy Athlete Training Scale, the principles, and this idea of finding the sweet spot. It's a protocol. It's a way of approaching things, and it can just help every horse. So if you've been curious, and if it's March or September, and if the sweet spot course happens to be open at the time you're listening to this, I really recommend you check it out. And if you're not sure, give us a call or send us an email, and we're happy to talk to you privately and just hear what's going on with you and your horse and see if this is the right time. Hey, I've got some great news for you. Registration for the Finding the Sweet Spot of Healthy Biomechanics program is now open at a special discounted price. We only open it twice a year, so if you don't do it now, you're going to have to wait 6 months. That's half a year. Now, this is our most transformative and most highly supported program. It will forever change the way you think about how your horse moves and how you confidently improve it. You get 6 months of live weekly Q&A calls with my coaches and private coaching included. And that's along with lifetime access to all the training materials. Now, the vast majority of students surveyed rated this program a 5 out of 5, and they said that they would confidently and enthusiastically recommend it to their friends. And because of the unique exercises and concepts taught inside the program, it's appropriate for riders of all disciplines wanting to improve how their horse moves, even with no prior dressage experience. And it's also appropriate for even seasoned dressage riders looking for a more harmonious way to ride and train. You can find out all the information at dressagenaturally.net/sweetspot, and check it out now because registration closes for the semester after April 6th. That's dressagenaturally.net/sweetspot, SWEETSPOT. All right, now back to the pod. Okay, and the other area for rehabilitation is the gymnastics. So this is where you're strengthening, right? So the sweet spot idea, you're kind of experimenting and finding the way and listening to the horse to tell you, like, what's the best way for him to move or her, where they feel the most balance and ease. And then you want to start getting targeted and taking what is working and strengthen it. So the first piece I want to emphasize is the do what the horse can do, and then start to strengthen that. So if it's, I had a horse that had laminitis, and that's so hard to watch, but they get to the point where, okay, they still have to, stay in, they can't move around a lot, but they're sort of more comfortable just standing, and it's only the front feet, the back feet are fine. So we can do little school halt sort of stuff, or just posture training, or just, literally things in place. You can do bending, but, from side to side, you can do little position changes. Standing, halting in the shape of a shoulder in, so if they can do it, then do it. Right. So, I've worked with another horse with a mysterious lameness, that showed up only when going track right, but on straight lines and left turns, really even, like, looked really, really good. So do the straight lines, do the left turns. And of course, always monitor, make sure. But this, that acknowledgement when the horse says, I can do this, but this hurts. And you go, great. Thank you. I hear you. You don't have to do that. Let's just do this. So building that trust is still such a big piece of it. So there's, lots of this is where you have to get really customized and go, okay, what are they able to do? And can I do it in a way that doesn't irritate the thing that they can't do? And just build that language, build that try, build that trust for the horse to do things for you. Because again, if you're rehabilitating, there might be a lot of things that the horse is able to do but won't because they don't want to go there because it used to hurt and they don't trust you. So the even playing with the gymnastics part, you're actually playing with the partnership part. I hope you are. That's not like, okay, good, they're willing. Now let's work their butts. Like, no, every piece is a partnership piece. All right, so that's the one consideration in gymnastics. And the other place, the other thing is to strengthen that place of ease, right? So if you find it through the sweet spot, or you're finding it through these little gymnastic exercises that they can do, then when they're there, you're thinking, that's what I'm strengthening. I'm strengthening the muscles of that posture. I'm strengthening the muscles of that balance. I'm strengthening the muscles of that coordination. And you're proving to the body that it's able to do that. And so instead of proving to the body that it's going to hurt. So that's why it's so important to, again, find that doorway in. Play around, find the things that you can do, strengthen those, and not play the game of I'm going to do it something again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and hopefully by the end we'll find something that works. Because then you're strengthening all those muscles of not getting it yet. That you want to stay really clever. You want to break it down into really small pieces. And the goal is to, again, build that trust, find the littlest, tiniest piece they can do, do that. Build up the trust, build up the strength, build up the place of ease. And, you know, that is all. Imagine, you know, if it works for a horse who's got problems and things that they need to rehabilitate from, imagine if you just did this from the beginning. So that you don't run into these compounded problems and this mentally, you know, mentally ill horse with emotional issues and brace all over their body and contortion because they're just trying to protect themselves from the human. So when you're able to rehabilitate a horse, it can be the most amazing feeling in the world. It feels like such a gift. But then again, isn't every day with a horse a gift? If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.